They don't matter at nine, so we are on the clock. Okay, you ready? Okay, so the next piece of Gemara, there's a shaila in how to learn it. There's a grow up shot, which I think is actually a preferred shot. But we'll learn it first the way we have it at the top without the variant, and we'll throw in the grow afterwards. We had a question of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, who said what? It's Tzuras HaPesach, which is greater than 10 Amos, is disqualified. So the question is that true even if the Tzuras HaPesach is on top of the poles, right? Or even on the sides? The Tzuras HaPesach could be on the sides, it could be on the top. It's physically, I'm not saying halakhically. Luckily, it's supposed to be on top, but the Gemara here is clarifying about it. Is on the side or is on the top? So when Rish Lakish said that if it's wider than 10 Amos, even if it was on top, which is the best type of a Tzuras HaPesach, so if that's the case, then lo amar Reb Chagei klum. Then he didn't say anything, which means he was bringing a raya. The Gemara had a question. Is Rish Lakish, does he disqualify it even if it's more than 10 Amos? The Gemara brought a raya from the fact that we have in the case of the ropes as an eitzah in the Mishnah, if they're parked in a park and they're making a, what do you call it, they're encircling the encampment, they use the three rope method. So a mafia used to call it the rope trick, right? You choke the guy to death. So if you have the three rope trick, so that's proof, the Gemara proved. Why do you have to, if Tzuras HaPesach is good, even if it's wider than 10 Amos, then why do you have to have three ropes? Just use one rope. The Teretz, so what kind of riot is that? There, in the case of the ropes, obviously the ropes are on the side of posts, right? You're creating an imaginary loved type of a fence, so you have support here and a rope going across, and so it's on the side of the posts. So that's a case of min hatzad. So if min hatzad, maybe Rish Lakish wasn't talking about Tzuras HaPesach min hatzad. Maybe min hatzad will talk about posel, but molmala, which is a better type of Tzuras HaPesach, maybe that would be good if it would be even more than 10 amos. So the law of Rav Chagei klum, it's no raya at all. If Rish Lakish is talking about minat tzad, so then we've got a like comparison, tzad to tzad. That's the Gemara's first attempt.
Gemara says, where are you reading?
What?
Where are you reading? Where are you holding?
Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. I'm sorry if I didn't speak that out.
Top line.
We start on 39a at the top. So the Gemara says, Manav Shach. So Manoshav, what the Gemara says is still a good raya. Why? Because no matter how you learn the case in what Rish Lakish holds, in other words, Manoshav, does Rish Lakish hold from more than 10 amos being valid? If it does, then why didn't it give that advice in that case of the Machana? What they have to make the three rope trick for? They could have done it Momala. And if he holds Menatzad, it's good. Why don't they have to go three ropes Menatzad? In other words, the fact that this Eitzah is missing from that Mishnah is raya that it's not a good Eitzah. It's really a question of are you focusing on the raya from the Mishnah, or are you focusing on what Rish Lakish said? That's just what the Gemara is just playing a game here. Rabban Dikusim Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah Tiftar Asuyim Kamin Dukran. And they say that the whole thing is no raya. Let's suppose we're talking about a case in that case of the backyard of the encampment where the poles were like spear-like, they came to a point. So you couldn't have a Tzuras HaPesach Mamala because you can't, there's nothing to attach the rope to. So therefore, the Mamala was never an Eitzah, so we can't prove anything from that Mishnah. So that's why the Gemara is basically saying we have no proof from that Mishnah whatsoever, one way or the other. The Gemara learns the whole thing completely different. The Gemara learns that the Gemara is having a generic question about Tzuras HaPesach. Is it good both Momala or is it even good ben atzad? The Gemara tries to prove one way or the other. The Gemara, in the end, when it's saying that Mishnah could have been talking about where there are points, the Gemara means just the opposite of the way we learned it now. The Gemara means that if it was pointy, you could have taken the rope and stuck the rope into the pointy parts, and you would have had a nice source of pasach mamala. And since it doesn't say that, so you see, it's not good if it's more than 10. You see what? What do you see then? The rabbis of Caesarea rejected the proof by observing the post tapered to a sharp point, and it can indeed be attached to the top by piercing it with the sharp tips. Therefore, even if Rabbi Chagi held that a tzuras haPesach braid must be on top, he could still have argued that the Mishnah's omission of tzuras haPesach proves large tzuras haPesach is unfit for Shabbos. Okay, that's basically it's a different mahalach. Okay. But this shailah, whether tzuras haPesach is good, is good even on tzad or not, this might be a sugya to learn with a little more care. Okay. Reb Zeir, Reb Davud, but the Chayfa B'Shem Reb Shlomo Malkish, L'Goyva Afilu Ad Mei Amah. As far as the height of the tzuras haPesach is concerned, as we're talking about Klayim, even 100 amas tall is good. Is he talking about even the Shabbos or even... I think he's talking about Klayim. It doesn't say it here.
Which means you can't see it. Shabbos, I think, is
20,
right?
We're going to talk about Shabbos in just a second. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara actually says this. Amar Abudin Hadot Dat Amar Le'inyan Klayim. This halacha that it's good even L'mala Me'ya Amma, that's talking about what?
Klayim.
Avol inyan Shabbos. So our Shabbos is concerned. Lo tehei pe'er gadol manakara. The tzuras haPesach can't be superior to a crossbeam, and a crossbeam is a Mishnah Erevin. The first Mishnah Erevin is the famous Mishnah that can't be more than 20 amos high. If it's more than 20 amos high, you should make it less. That's what the Mishnah says, right? So, everybody know. I don't have to explain what a korah is here. Everybody know what a korah is? Yeah? So they're talking about an alley, right? So you have an alleyway. So if the alley is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the only way you can carry into the alley is if there's a korah at the, or a lechi at the end of the alley. That korah is a heker, and therefore it has to be within 20 amos in order for it to be a heker. Now we have a machlokes here. Rabbi Yaisi says, no, he claimed he eats Shabbos. That is to say, if the tzuras haPesach is good l'mala meyashim, even by klayim, so it would be valid for Shabbos as well.
So you're learning it from klayim to Shabbos, not from Shabbos to klayim.
It's not. I don't know if he's learning it, but he feels it's the same.
100 is okay or 20 is too.
Yeah, in the wording, it's not really clear, but in the English translation, it says just as it is valid for klayim, it is valid for Shabbos. Sounds like it. Which would be a little funny that he'd be arguing on that Mishnah in the beginning of Erevin. Yeah. I'll die to Rabbi Yossi, ma ben kara, ma ben peya. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, what's the difference between a crossbeam and a braid? One second. Rabbi Yossi said he climbed, he Shabbos. One second. I must be missing something. No, they should have been Adati or Abudon. Why? Why does it say Adati or Abuyasi? Hold on a second. I just realized this. Abuyasi said they're the same. So why does the Gemara say Adati or Abuyasi, Ma Ben Kara, Ma Ben Peya? Why should a braid be effective even when there is more than 20 hours above the ground when a crossbeam is not? That's not Rabbi Yossi's Shita. So why does it say according to Rabbi Yossi? This is totally wrong. What's the Vav say? Nothing. You understand my question?
says it should be the same for both. Correct? Kalayim and Shabbos should be the same. And it should go up as high as you want. According to him, I guess the Mishnah over there says that there's a difference between the Torah and the Peah.
Hold on one second.
Let's try. We know that the Korah can't be more than 20. That's from the Mishnah in Shabbos. Or Erev, right? So if the Korah can't be more than 20, so how can the payer be higher?
Yeah, the problem we have is that the Gemara is asking it according to the wrong Mandi Amar. It's a Tzarki and Gadol over here. It makes absolutely no sense why it says Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds it the same, and therefore we can never ask him, according to him, what's the difference? There is no difference, so what are you asking? So it doesn't make any sense to me why it says Al-Daitid Rabbi Yossi. I don't know why I didn't realize this until today. I read this 3 times already, and now I'm just realizing it. I'm Rabbi Yudon. It's Rabbi Yudon is the one that said that there's a difference between Shabbos and Kliyim. As far as Kliyim, it's a filo ad mea ama. We got be Shabbos, it has to be. Am I missing something stupid here?
Can I read what they say in English? How they translate that line?
I read it.
Why should the bray be effective even when it is more than 20?
About Shabbos. Shabbos,
across
being, the Torah can't be more than
20. Oh, I am stupid.
Right?
I am
the
stupid.
The Torah can't be more than 20 on Shabbos.
He wasn't talking about Torah. I'm sorry. Rabbi Yossi was only talking about the Tzuras HaPesach. So he said, oh my gosh, I'm really thick. He said that a braid is good, l'mayla mi'esrim ama, and just as it is good, l'mayla mi'asher mama, atzuras ha-pesach, l'gabe klayim, so too the braid is good, l'mayla mi'asher mama, on Shabbos as well. The din that you can't have it above 20 amas, that's a din by Korah. What's wrong with you? Shluffin. So the Gemara answers, peyah ena matzelas me'ruach achas. It's only one side, which means, it's in the middle of a sentence. Ashtei megufefes mi'arba ruchasel. It has to be from all four sides, which means when you have a tzuras ha-pesach, you have the Yerushalmi holds that you have to have 2 beams on the side, and those beams have to reach the ground. The Gemara speaks this out, that the beams have to reach the ground, and so you have the tzuras ha-pesach l'mala, the 2 supporting side beams to be the tzuras ha-pesach, and the fourth is the ground. So it's a square. The tzuras ha-pesach is a square which is completely... It's not a heker per se. It's a tzura of a pesach. It's a like a physical structure. And therefore, it's good l'mala even ad mea ama. That's by a Tzuras HaPesach, which a Peah is synonymous with. A braid, Tzuras HaPesach, same thing. It's a Tzuras HaPesach. It's going to be, you'll get confused if you keep using the word Peah. Because Peah is La Dafka. It doesn't have to be a Peah.
It can't be the Korah.
If it's a Tzuras HaPesach, it's not a Korah. Korah is a definition. A Korah, which we're going to say in a second, let me just read the next line. Korah matzalas miruach achas. A Korah is valid even if it's just leaning on the wall. You have 2 walls of a mavoi, and you put the Korah down on top of the 2 walls, and it goes across, not connected to anything. That's 100% valid. So it's miruach achas. It's only one direction. Therefore, it's only good up until 20 amos. That's what it says. Okay, next. This comes out like him. He also said the same thing, that it's a Pesach needs to have all 4 sides. Next. Amar Bar Marmol. So he says tetraflios, which is a Greek word apparently. Some say it comes from the same thing like tefillin tat pei, that it's four, whatever. Shebe kramim also tata tachten. So what this is they had. Imagine you had support beams for a roof. So you know you'll have the beam going across, like you know up the entire slope of the roof. And you'll have horizontal beams that's gonna hold that you're gonna be banging in your shingles into, right? That's how you could picture it. Now if those beams continue, make it a flat roof, okay? So if you have a flat roof and those beams extend over beyond the edge of the roof, right? You can easily see this happening. So you have flat beams going out across the roof, and you have a beam sticking out over the edge.
It's called a cantilever.
That's nice. So then what you could have is, you could have a Tzuras HaPesach, because you have a supporting beam holding up that beam, right? Because otherwise, how does it stay up there? It's going off the roof, right? But why was it put up there? It was put up there for the roof purposes. It wasn't put up there for the purposes of creating shade and protection down below. That's his point. Because tetraflios shabikramim also tata tachtim. You can't carry underneath them on Shabbos, because even though it has a shape of a Tzuras HaPesach, but the fact is the top was not put there for the purposes of the bottom. It was put there for the purposes of the roof, and therefore it's disqualified. Okay? Neshehin sof tikra, like it says in Yerushalmi, it's the end of the roof. That's why it was put up there. Next. Nein sof tikra matzah mishum peya. All right? Amar Pinchas, also uvdo kumi Reb Yirmiya, so there was a maisa shahaya, ba'arba amudim, you had four beams, aleihim arbat pistalios, and there were four columns at the four corners of a four-sided area. So you have four spliced reeds from column to column. So I view this like, you know, you have four columns in the four corners of your kerem, right? Is this talking about Shabbos? No, I'm making Shabbos, okay. So you make it four corners in an open area, right? And then you're making reeds across the top. So you have, it's basically, imagine like it's a sukkah with no walls, with a reed that goes around the four poles, right? And so he's being matir to carry underneath in that area because it forms a Tzuras HaPesach, and so it's completely enclosed. That's what he's.
They're on top.
They're on top. Yes, the four. The splice reeds are placed from column to column. Each side of the area between the columns was thus framed for what looks like a Tzuras HaPesach, right? So v'hito tata tachtem mishum peya. So on Shabbos he was matirit. It's questionable exactly what his kiddush was exactly, because l'chara, it's not. We know already that this is a valid Tzuras HaPesach. So why did he have to say this? In footnote 3, he says it's not clear why he had to say it. All right, this is a little bit of a problem. So I'm going to just keep going. Rabun, Rabbanan, Boten, Kumi, Rab Zeira, Peyum, Mashal, Tatsu, Basukah. Now we're going to start asking about other types of halachas. What's the rule with the Tzuras HaPesach? Could that help for a wall? Is that a valid wall by a sukkah? So now, let's face it, guys. If you're going to have, like we just described, four poles with a reed around it, no one's going to say that's a valid sukkah. A sukkah needs walls. You can't have it. So when he's saying here, is it going to be valid for a wall? It must mean, this is what the Mefarshim explained, it must mean he's talking about the third wall. He's not talking about wall number one and wall number two. Of course, wall number one and wall number two, it's not going to be good for him. So
don't you say that if the gnei can go in, then it loses its whole shame of a wall?
What was that again?
If your third wall doesn't go all the way down to the ground, and a goat can walk underneath it, so it loses its whole shame of a wall. But for sure over here, it shouldn't be a wall.
you want to know whether the, how could the third wall work if it's, if the Gedi and Baikim ball? That's your question. How can any Tzurah HaPasach work as a wall if the Gedim can walk through it? That's a general question he's asking.
Love it to the ground.
He's asking how does Tzurah HaPasach work? Goats can go through. How does the Pesach work? Remember, we've said if you have a breach which is less than 10 amos, that you could that's not a problem for Shabbos as long as Oymid Murbala. The stuff that's standing is.
Now we're talking about sukkah.
We're talking about general halachas. You brought up the halacha of Yediyim.
Yediyim
going through a wall. That's a general question. It's lav dafka negeh sukkah or Shabbos. It's negeh all b'chitzes. So I'm asking you a question. If you have a Pesach, how does it work? The answer is because it's a Pesach. That's how it works. If you're trying to make a mechitza, so then the mechitza is not going to work if a gedi can get through there. But if it has a halacha like a Pesach, then we saw that a breach is, which is less than 10 amos is good. The gedim have to go through a doorway too, all right? All right, I think that's the right answer. I'm not 100% sure. I made it up just now.
Sounds right to me.
Sounds good to the audience here.
That would have been my answer.
Okay, is that all right with you, Tzvi?
That sounds good, yeah.
Sounds good, right. Okay, pay a matzah tatsa b'sukkah. Can it work by sukkah? I'm lying. Pay a matzah tatsa b'sukkah. It works. And we're going to learn now that it means he's talking about third wall. Now, the Gemara's second question about sukkah is sof schach. Ma'u shi'atsa b'sukkah. What about the edge of the schach? So the schach goes out, and the edge perhaps forms a tzurah ha-pesach, right? So on the outer rim of the schach. So the Gemara says, I'm lying. Ein sof schach matzah b'sukkah. No. The edge of the schach cannot work as a tzurah ha-pesach. My men say, Liza, what's the difference? The braid and the edge of the schach, the Gemara answers, and asa lakach, the braid was made for this purpose to act as a tzurah ha-pesach. Vezeh einu asa lakach. Again, this is the same chilek we said before. One is made for a roof, was made for lamala, and one is made lamata. Well, actually, schach is also made, I mean, every roof is made to also protect. But what we were saying before by the beam that stretched out above beyond the building, the tripopios, whatever that was, whatever what fancy word you used. Can't believe it?
Cantilever. It's an architecture term.
All right. How do you know that?
My son's an architect.
Your son's an architect?
He likes Frank Lloyd Wright. And Frank Lloyd Wright is to build his houses.
Wow, Frank Lloyd Wright gets into the Yerushalmish here.
Right.
Let's go on. Okay, my wife likes his architecture. I once drove hours to go see one of his houses.
Yes,
great. Thank you very much. Okay, next. Now we're gonna have to halt up to all the halachas in a second. All these things. Now, what they give is an introduction here that all the halachas that we just asked about, and you'll see they, let's see which one is it, which number is it? Number 8. He quotes the halachas. The Gemara has discussed different types of tzurah ha-pesach can be used on Shabbos. One whose width exceeds 10 amos, one whose height exceeds 20 amos, and one whose crossbar is intended as the edge of a roof. All these discussions clearly assume that a standard tzurah ha-pesach is kosher. That's the underlying assumption in all the questions. So the Gemara makes a general statement about tzurah ha-pesach in general. I thought this was a statement about those questions, but if you look at the way the Mefarshim quoted, they're saying that it's mashma that tzurah ha-pesach is good. Okay, for Shabbos, and it says, the Gemara says, no. Kol ili milayah, all this talk, linyan masu matan. That's good, we're talking and learning. Kol ahiris, but if you're going to paskin, also ahiris, you can't paskin, that it's good. In other words, he's not allowing you to use tzurah ha-pesach to be matar you to carry on Shabbos. The Gemara makes a kalachaner. Ma'am sukkah kala. Marach sukkah, which is kala. It's kala in the sense that it's only a mitzvah saseh. And if you're over, you're not chayv skeel or karas or anything like that. But nonetheless, for that mitzvah, what do we say? At Amar Aser, you say you can't make it tzuras ha-pesach. So right here is where the Mefarshim jump up. What do you mean? We just said tzuras ha-pesach is kosher for sukkah. That's the last thing we just quoted from Rabon. He said, pay your matzelis for sukkah. So why is he making an assumption here that marach of sukkah, it doesn't work tzuras ha-pesach? We just said it does work. The answer must be, he's talking about the ikker, two walls of the sukkah, which we know for sure doesn't work. He was talking about the third wall, okay? So marach of sukkah doesn't work for the main walls. So Shabbos HaChamura, Shabbos which are chayiv kares and skila and all kinds of bad stuff, is surely, it's not going to work. So it's therefore, so you see, it's not lahalak lamaisa. Rabban Brachia bar Kumi Rab Zeira, man tana peyam atzelis, la Rabbi Yechon Menuri. Wasn't it Rabbi Yechon Menuri? The question exactly which Rabbi Yechon Menuri there is. Apparently there was, it says over here, that there's a brisa in Erevin 11b that quotes a brisa where Rabbi Yechon Menuri rules, Tzuras HaPesach is an effective partition for client. So the Gemara is saying, who is the tana that says peyam atzelis? Isn't that Rabbi Yechon Menuri? But Rabbi Yochanan Manuri, if you remember when he was going around with it with that other person, I don't remember his name offhand, but he was going ahead and fixing things. Remember he was showing him the different. I think it was, I don't know who, I don't remember what his name was. He was going around, he was fixing it, and he said, "Kizeh kishabbos, just like it's good here, it's good for Shabbos too." So you see that he compares Tzuras HaPesach for both Klayim and Shabbos, and he's matur it. So that's contrary to Rav Avuhu saying Lahiras not. Amalei ad he tana. The he is interchangeable with ches. So it's like ad he tana. That tana is pushed off. Rabbi Yochanan Manuri would push him away. And we don't pass him like him. He stands his ground. He holds. It's not good. Nimtza soimer. Now you have to hold a couple. We've got to run through this quickly. Nimtza soimer. That's almost impossible for us to do this in 2 minutes. But okay. As far as climate is concerned, whenever it's less than 3 tefachim, it's lovid. And and therefore 100% it would be good to plant anywhere in there. And mishleish arabah from 3 to 4. So then, in the ha'imid rabal parts, it's mutter. If you have mostly standing, it's mutter. If parts rabal ha'imid, it's aser. Arabah eser 4 until 10. Then the rule is, if the ha'imid rabal parts, it's mutter. But if parts are mobile aymed, then it's only connected to aymed, it's mutter, but the connected parts, it's aser. Yoyser meyaser, if the breaches are more than 10 amas, then even though the aymed is rabbal aparetz, it doesn't matter. Connected to aymed is mutter, connected parts is aser. That's a simple rule, and you can follow that rule. Now, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's a little simpler. Obviously, we're talking about Shabbos. You have to have an enclosed area to be able to carry it on in that area. So from 3 until from up until 3, it's closed to 100% mutter. 3 until 4 and 4 until 10, there's no difference. The rule is, if the ayman is rubala parats, then it's mutter. But if the parts is rubala ayman, then it's aser. Yoysim yaser, if it's more than 10 amas, then even though the ayman is rubala parats, it's aser, because the whole area, you have too many gaps. And if it's too many gaps, you can't carry on Shabbos. Okay, we'll have to stop here.